Good evening. Jesus said in Mark 14:37, we was looking at that this morning, could you not have watched? And I want us to concentrate on that word watch. This morning we glanced at it, we looked at some things concerning it, but tonight I want us to look at it more closely. And the reason why is a very powerful word. It's a word that is very encouraging, yet very challenging at the same time. It's used some 23 times in the New Testament. It's a word that carries plenty or many ideas, and the contexts in which they are found are magnificent, worthy of our consideration. When you consider the watch or a watch or a watchman, especially in the Old Testament, notice this, carries the idea of to lean forward, to spy, to watch closely, to look out, to view. The New Testament is a little different. It means to be sleepless, circumspect, to be ready. Reminded of Ephesians chapter 5, where the Bible teaches us to walk circumspectly, meaning walk wisely, walk carefully. The word circumspectly there is the Greek word akrobat. We get our English word, well, you hear it, it's pretty clear. To walk the straight line or the tight rope, if you will. In order for us to be good watchmen over our lives or over the lives of those in whom we have some type of authority over, we have to be watchmen. We have to walk the tight rope. Ezekiel was named a watchman. A watchman over Israel, if you will. He was one that had the responsibility of prophesying to the people of God. Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 1, there the Bible teaches us that he says that I stand in the watchtower. It's a figurative of speech there. It's not that he was literally on a watchtower, but he was standing waiting for the revelation of God, if you will. But also shepherds have a responsibility, according to Hebrews 13 and verse number 17, to watch over the souls and those in whom they are among, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. Yet, we're commanded to be watchmen, to watch our lives, to watch them closely. I want us to consider a few contexts as we are going to look at this particular word. In Mark chapter 13 and verse number 33, we see this word being used. And before we go into that particular verse, keep in mind that the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The only way that that can take place, he has to be watching you. In Mark chapter 13 and verse number 33, notice what Jesus commands his followers. Mark chapter 13, verse number 33. He said, take heed, watch and pray. There's our word there. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is, the day, the hour. Now, notice what's coupled with watching. Prayer. Prayer is coupled with watching, with being alert, being aware. Jesus uses this particular word in a very mighty way. Here's the Greek definition of the word watch. It literally means to be cautious, to take heed, lest through, listen to this, remission or relaxation and indolence, inactivity, laziness, some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes you. Usually when people get into car accidents, it's because of something that they have done maybe in a relaxed mode. Reaching over and picking up something on the floorboard, you know, it's only going to take a quick second. Sending a quick text message or just becoming lazy as they are viewing the road. It's always something that they could have controlled. When we think about this, friends, God wants us to be a people who are watchful. Notice in Matthew chapter 24, in Matthew 24, verse 42 and 43, notice, and I want to put this in the context of the family. The family. Now, the reason why I say that is this. It's in the context of judgment, no doubt. And the same thing as we saw in Matthew, Mark chapter 13. But I want us to start at verse number 36, and we're going to read down to verse number 44. But of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, keep in mind what took place in the days of Noah. And we have biblical accounts of what took place in the days of Noah, the book of Genesis, 1 Peter chapter 3, Hebrews 11. But notice, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, notice what they were doing, friends. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Here's our word right here. Watch. Notice the illustration that he gives, and then he says, watch. Be mindful. Be cautious. Take heed, lest through omission and relaxation and laziness, some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes you. Isn't that exactly what took place in the days of Noah? They were going about their business, going about their life. And next thing you know, here come rain and destruction of the earth. Here come the water. They're flooding. It took them all away. They didn't know what took them. Notice what he says, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, there's our word, and not allowed his word or his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. As families, we need to be watchful. We need to be diligent. We need to make sure that we're involved. Involved in the work of the church. Involved in the lives of our family. We must not grow weary in well-doing, but always striving to do the will of God. In upholding the standards of Almighty God in our home and everywhere that we are, we ought to be mindful and watchful. We need to make sure that God is respected in every area of our lives, lest we be taken away. I want us to keep this in mind because God wants us to be all about doing his will and be watchful. Let's not be lazy. Let's be mindful of what's going on around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see in verse number 13 a very familiar passage, but I want us to start at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 16, let's start at verse number 9. Our emphasis is going to be in verse number 13, but we're going to start at verse number 9 because I want us to notice some things that the Apostle Paul is saying. And if you look back at that context, those are the things that they need to be watchful for. Notice verse number, starting at verse number 8. I said 9, but verse 8. But if I tarry in Ephesus unto Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, in order that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother, Apollos, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brethren. But he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch, there's our word. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Few things I want us to take notice here. Number one, in verse number 13, notice what we see. We see our word watch, but we also see the word stand fast. The word stand fast there is very interesting and worthy of our consideration and something that we need to keep in mind.
to be stable. We need to be a stable people, a stationary people concerning the teachings of God. We need to be watchful, have this watchful attitude, which will cause us to be consistent in our maturation in the Lord. We got to be watchful. We need to be mindful. We need to be looking at our lives. We need to make sure that we are acting manly.
What does that mean? Y'all wake up now. Come on. Acting manly? I'm not talking about as in a man, woman acting like a man, but he's saying be strong. Have a resolve about you. And God's people must have a resolve about them, have a spiritual backbone, if you will. We are to increase in strength and might. I think a good passage for this is Ephesians 6, verse 10, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not ours. We need to be a watchful people, have that watchful attitude. And notice in verse number 9, notice what this watchful attitude looks like. For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Friends, there are still many adversaries concerning the gospel, concerning morality, concerning that which is right. We have to be watchful for that. As it relates to Timothy, and that was dealing in verse number 10, as it relates to Timothy, come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I do. Therefore, let no one despise him. Be watchful. Be watchful. Watch out for young Timothy. As it relates to Apollos in verse number 12, he says, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come at a convenient time. Apollos, be mindful of him. We ought to be a people who are mindful of those who are working among us, striving to do the will of God. We are to increase in strength and in might, even as the people of God. And I want to say this, and I know I can say this on behalf of the eldership. The crowd that came back tonight here is magnificent. To God be the glory. You keep doing what is right. You keep striving for righteousness. You keep doing that which God is pleased with, and you will grow in strength and in might. I guarantee it. And the reason why is because we want to continue to fight the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. Notice Acts 20. In Acts chapter 20, notice what your Bible there has to say, and we'll see this word used again. If you ever want to do a good inductive study, getting all of the evidence, all of the information, and then drawing a good, solid, spiritual conclusion, this is how you do it. In Acts chapter 20, starting at verse number 28 through verse number 31, notice what your Bible there has to say. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. He's talking to the Ephesian elders. This is Paul. And to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Here's a great point right here. When Jesus died on the cross in John 19, verse 34, the Bible says the soldier pierced him in the side, forthwith came blood and water. Same blood that purchased the church. We know that the Lord's church is a blood-bought institution. He purchased with his own blood, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, meaning that they're going to try to destroy the people of God. Verse 30. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. That's still taking place today. When a man tries to esteem himself higher than everyone else, he's trying to draw men after himself instead of drawing men after Christ. There's something wrong with that. And notice what he says in verse number 31. And it makes total sense how while Paul would use the same word as Jesus used as it relates to watch out. You don't know when I'm coming. He tells him, therefore, watch. There's our word. Why should I watch? Why should I be cautious? Why should I take heed lest through remission and relaxation and laziness some destructive calamity will overtake me? Because I don't want to be drawn away after a man. If anything, I want to be drawn to God through Jesus Christ. I got to be watchful.
Sometimes we're just not watchful enough over our own lives, those in whom we have authority over, those in whom we have responsibility for, our children. We got to be watchful. Notice what he says. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, I didn't stop to warn everyone night and day. Notice with tears. This was not emotional for Paul only. This was serious. He was passionate about this. He wanted them to be saved. He didn't want them to be pulled away from Christ. If anything, he was teaching them the way of Christ so they could stay with Christ. There's going to be some men that's going to draw disciples after themselves. We need to be mindful of that. And if any time you have men that are standing for the truth, we ought to be grateful for that. Why? Because they are esteeming Christ Jesus. John 12 and verse number 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." John 6, 44 and 45, the only way we're going to be drawn to the Father is through Jesus Christ. God is the one that does the drawing. We ought to make sure that we stay with God. But we have to keep in mind, turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, if you ever want to get all of the information about a subject, look at the Word and do an inductive study, and I guarantee you, you will conclude exactly what God wants you to conclude. Here we see that we have to keep in mind that our soul must be protected. This watching comes with great words of encouragement, though. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 4, we know that the Lord could return at any time. We saw that in Mark 13, Matthew 24. But notice here, as Paul is talking to the Thessalonian brethren, of course, maybe there's some questions that was going on that needed to be answered, and the Apostle Paul is dealing with some of those things. Keep in mind that he started this congregation a few years before they ran him out, and he's worried about them, he's concerned about their soul, and here he's answering some questions. Starting at verse number 4, notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness. Let me go ahead and say this. If you're living right, you're not in darkness. Isn't that beautiful? That's assurance. That's confidence that we have. That we're not walking in darkness. If anything, 1 John 1:7, we're walking in the light. And when one walks in the light, Mike, he walks in God. And when one walks in God, he's walking according to the Spirit's teaching. He tells these brethren, you're not walking in darkness, so that this day, what day? The day of the Lord shall not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us what? What does it say, friends? What does it say? Let us watch. Question. How closely are you watching your soul? Don Walker, he's going to be the director. He is the director of the Southwest School of Bible Studies. And he preached this lesson one time coming out of Philippians, I believe, chapter 3. And how we're looking to the heavens from whence our conversation, our citizenship, rather, in heaven. We ought to be a people who are always looking to the clouds, waiting for our Lord to come back. As a matter of fact, we're not afraid of the clouds. If anything, we're looking to the clouds because we know that salvation is on its way. Deliverance is on its way. He said, let us watch and be sober. The Greek word there is naphos, free from cloudiness. Something that I put in my notes that I think is worthy for us to think about. When we consider the word sober, it's in what you call the present active subjunctive. Sister Anna, remember we were talking about that word subjunctive? Meaning that in order for this to take place, this must take place. Now, y'all get this if you don't fall asleep on me. Soberness will not take place unless you are watchful. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the only way that you're going to be sober, you got to be watchful. Those who are not watchful are not sober, meaning they're not free from cloudiness. I can see why certain people, some people, they just fall into everything. They're not watchful. We have to be a watchful people. We're looking for our Lord's return, and we need to talk more about our Lord's return because that's where our salvation is. We're waiting for him to come back. He's going to come back and get us, friends. We have to believe that. Look at verse number 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. If you're drinking, stop drinking. But let us who are of the day be sober. There's our word again, sober, napho. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us in order that we wake, there's our word again, wake, watchful, alive, or sleep, we should live together with him. Question, are we alive? Are we awake? Are we spiritually awake? Are we doing the will of God? Well, I venture to say the very fact that you're here tonight, that you're striving to do that which is right, and we want to encourage you to continue to do that. Revelation chapter 3. Notice what this word continues to say. And I love these kind of studies, friends, because when you see something so rich, yet it may only have maybe about 25, 30 verses to it. I mean, you can sit down and in an hour study all of those verses and come up with a complete teaching on what God has said based upon that subject. And it don't even take that long. Just 1 hour.
I think about that. Just threw that in there. Y'all can take that home with you. That's free. In Revelation 3 and verse 2, y'all smile. It's good to see y'all smiling. In Revelation 3 and verse number 2, notice what the Bible here has to say. He's talking to Sardis. These things, let's read verse number 1, I'm sorry. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. Here it is. Wake up. Be watchful. Notice what is connected to being watchful and strengthen. The word strengthen there means to stabilize, to firm up, to fix, to make strong. Now notice what he's telling the church of Sardis. I need you to be awake. I need you to be watchful, mindful. Keep your eyes open. But I also need you to do something else. Firm some things up. Make some things strong. We would say it like this in our vernacular today. I got to work on some things. That's the way we would say it. Jesus said it this way. Notice what he goes on to say. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Literally in the Greek, the word ready to die, that phrase, those things that are rotten. There were some things in Sardis that were beginning to rot. And he said, you need to strengthen those things. You need to clean those things up. Why? Because they're ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Now, friends, let's not glance over that word perfect. I believe it's worthy of our consideration. The word perfect there is the idea of filling things up to the full. Remember, Paul would say it like this in Ephesians 5, verse number 18. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled. There's our word right there. Literally, filled to the full, crammed up. Now, notice what he's saying. Your works are not filled up yet. No room for anything else. In essence, he's telling the church at Sardis, you got work to do. Keep working. Don't stop. Sometimes we get a little bit on the comfortable side in America, in church, in Christ. Let's not stop. Let's keep working. Keep working on our attitudes. Keep working on our love. Keep working on our disposition. Keep working on everything in our lives. If it's going well, look at how you can improve it. Keep working and keep working and keep working.
Keep getting better. Keep getting better. I might get in trouble for this. My wife said I need to work on my communication with her. Dennis, can you believe that? He says, no, I like that brother. But she's right. I thought it was pretty good, but apparently not. It needs to be worked on. You know, I think we can work on our communication. Y'all ready? With our Father in heaven. We can pray more. We can listen to him more. Hold on. That's going to require me opening this up. It's amazing. Everybody loves one-sided relationships, not God. Not only does he want you to talk to him, but he would love for you to listen to what he has to say too. So we see that. As I close, look at verse number 3. In verse 3, he says, remember, meaning call to mind, call to your attention. Notice what he says here. Therefore, have you received and heard? Now notice, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, there's our word, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I come upon you. Now, I want us to notice five things. He says, number one, remember. Number two, receive. Number three, you heard. Number four, hold fast. Number five, repent. Five things in that passage. All of them are worthy of us thinking about. That not watching is directly connected to being unfaithful. God wants us to be a prepared people to meet him. Last but definitely not least in this study, this is the last time this word is used, and that's Revelation 16. Revelation 16. It's amazing. The last time this word is used, the first time it was used by Jesus. The last time that is used by Jesus. I think this word means something. Jesus wants us to be aware. Here's the exhortation, the encouragement to be faithful to God and his will. And it ought to excite us. Notice what he says. In Revelation 16, verse number 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed. Remember Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit that rests from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed. Remember the blessings in Matthew chapter 5? Those blessings right there. Jesus uses this word again. Blessed is he who watches. There's our word. And keeps his garments. Oh, I wish I had till midnight to preach them that garment. There's just something about that garment. What does your garment look like? Is your garment, is it pure? Is it white as snow? What does your garment look like? Have you been watching your garment? Do you see spots in your garment? If you see spots, are you going to take it off and wash it? Don't you want to be pure and white as snow? He keeps his garments lest he walks naked, meaning exposed, and they see his shame. I have in my notes, Colossians 3, ought to be setting our affections on things that are above, where Christ said it. I want to be putting off that old man. It's not about him no more. The things that we did when we were living as the Gentiles, 1 Peter chapter 4, we don't need to be doing that. We need to leave that alone. We need to be watching our lives. We need to be watching what's in our hearts. We've got to be watching. Yet, we need to be walking around, Mike, looking for Jesus to come back. We can't wait for that day. We ought to go to bed every night. I hope Jesus comes tonight. If not, as Foy Wallace would say, why not? We ought to go to bed every night. Lord, is tonight tonight? If so, I'm ready. Nothing arrogant about that. That's confidence. And God wants us to walk in confidence. Why not be confident? Because if I've been washed in the blood of Christ, I have assurance that when he comes back, I'm going to meet him in the air.
One preacher said this one time, if Jesus Christ comes back and you see people in the air and you're down here, you got problems. You want to meet Jesus in the air. Where will you meet him? You're either going to meet him in the air or you're going to bow down before him and he's going to say, depart. We don't want to hear that. We want to meet Jesus in the air and forever be with the Lord. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be put in a position where you can be watchful. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Be baptized into Christ. Have all your sins washed away. And you don't have to watch what you did in your past life. God has forgiven you for all of that. And now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been watching your life. Let's do that. Let's watch what we are and who we are. Let's watch it. Let's be mindful. And let's be encouraged to keep looking to the clouds, not just because they're pretty up there, but because we have someone coming back on a cloud. He left on a cloud and he's coming back on one. And when he comes back, we want to go back home with him as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.